Allie Robertson is rocking the YouTube world, growing her channel to 17,000+ followers. She is not only doing that, but she is also a graphic designer and a self-employed entrepreneur. She has lots to teach us. Let's learn about it here.
If you're going to do something right, I would say you have to do.
Thank you so much for being here today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we said you started off doing YouTube kind of hit or miss a little bit in the very beginning. Just walk us through. Tell us just a quick background for those that don't know who you are. Just kind of introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Okay. So I started YouTube in like 2019. Not really seriously. I mainly started YouTube because I was restoring an old house. And whenever I would go to family events, I would have so many people ask me the same questions and I'd have to answer it over and over and over. And I was like, I'll just start a YouTube channel where they can just watch and see the progress happen and like not have to ask me so many questions and I don't have to answer them every time I see them. So that's how it started. And then I saw that other people kind of like caught on to it and like started watching. And so it grew, not fast, but it grew a little bit. And I kind of like, I don't know, adapted my YouTube channel as I grew out of the house. I kind of let the house project go and started moving into furniture. And then I kind of adapted it now to kind of just any DIY project that I do. But over those like 6 years, I've kind of like given up on it, started it over again, tried something different, failed, started something new again, like kept trying new things and adapted it to whatever I was kind of hoping my audience wanted to see. And so slowly grown. And it wasn't until like a little over a year ago, I started taking it seriously and like made goals for myself and like kind of had it more planned out and researched my target audience that like I started really growing. And I had like a big, like I went, like you said, from like 2,000 followers all the way up to 17K in kind of a short period of time. So yeah, I saw a lot of growth in the last year.
So I think that's the key part. You started off this, now tell us, did you know a lot about YouTube and how the algorithm worked or like anything about it when you very first started, or did you just kind of get into it and get going and learn along the way?
I actually like didn't even know people made money on YouTube when I first started. Like, I don't know if there was a lot of people, I'm sure there was a lot of people still doing it and making money, but I just didn't hear about it. I was kind of in my own little world, doing that old house that I was restoring. But I feel like I have a degree in graphic design, which means that like I learned a lot of programs that helped out eventually in my YouTube journey, like Adobe Illustrator, Adobe Photoshop. I use Rush now, but that wasn't what I used back then. I used like the free one on the MacBooks. I forgot what it's called. It's like iMovie. Yeah, it was iMovie. And it was free and it's kind of not the best, but I was like, okay, I'll just work with it. I don't have money to spend on my channel or anything. So I used that and then grew into whatever Adobe Rush is now. And I use all the Adobe stuff. So I kind of had a background in like knowing all the tools that I could use for the YouTube channel, but I had no idea about like thumbnails or hashtags or anything crazy that would help me grow on social media. So I started kind of like very basic.
So it's a lot of trial and error figuring out along the way too.
Yeah.
But then something that you kind of mentioned is like you really need to find your niche or your group of people that you want to reach out to.
Yeah.
I feel like you can't just make one thing that's going to reach out to every single person in the world. You just have to focus on one thing and be really good at it. And it seems like, is that kind of what you're finding now for yourself?
Oh, for sure now. Back when I started, I didn't have that mindset. I kind of just made something, posted it, see if it did good, which I think is kind of how you start no matter what, because you don't really know your audience as well as you think until you like get their feedback. If like, oh, this video did well, that means obviously you did something right. If it didn't do well, you're kind of missing something somewhere and you have to kind of put the research in and figure out who your target audience is and what they're looking for.
Sure. So do you feel like that's the part that's really led to your growth then, is just really understanding? Or like, what are some of those things that have kind of led to your growth a lot more in YouTube in this last year?
Yeah, the last year, I feel like I've definitely like taken time and taken it seriously, where I would look at my insights on YouTube, which means like it tells you the gender, the times that you do the best on YouTube and like all the different kinds of things you want to know about your audience. So that way you can kind of make your video and your content specifically for that audience compared to just making something, hopefully it works, and posting it. So there's like a strategy definitely to behind it now compared to when I first started.
Right. I feel like the algorithm is just like super hard to unlock too.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you're finding your way in there and like understanding it too, which is a really hard thing to overcome.
Right. It's definitely something people talk about, the algorithm, and like it's like this giant beast that is kind of scary and you don't know how to understand it. But once you're like in it, and you have to be like afraid, or not afraid to fail is what I mean. Like you can't just be like, oh, I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't post this, like what if this happens? You kind of just have to go with it and figure it out. Like that's the only way I learned anything on social media, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, is kind of just like push yourself to put it out there and then figure it out as you go.
Right. I think to quote Mr. Beast for a second here, he always says like post 100 videos and those first 100 are going to suck, but then maybe it's your 101st video that's like you lock in, you really know what you're doing, and then that's where you start to grow.
Yeah. I would definitely say there has to be trial and error with whatever theme or subject you pick.
Sure. So then tell me, like, in your thought, how essential is it for someone in business or just someone who's starting off doing their own thing? Like, how essential is having an online presence? Is it something you absolutely need? Is it something you don't need? Like, what's your kind of feel on that?
I think in today's world, it's like 99% essential. Like, to be a trustworthy business, I would feel like people look you up online before they even go into your store, if you have a store. Like, without a website or without social media, people don't know who you are anymore. Like, compared to back before when they didn't have cell phones and they didn't have internet even, or like personally internet, like people would have to go out and find you and they're seeking you. Where now people, they just sit on their phone and you have to come to them. Like, you have to show up on their feeds. You have to put yourself in front of them. Otherwise, they're not going to find you.
Which is hard to do. Right. You have to make several different videos.
Yeah.
And you have to be very active in it.
Right.
Yeah.
And be like on trend and everything.
Right. Yeah. That's another part of it too. I feel like when I actually see a trend, it's already gone past and I've already missed that opportunity. So it's like, how do you find those trends right away? I feel like that is so hard to do.
Well, there's like a balance of kind of following the right people on social media, because there's some people that are like trend makers and like you want to be following them and watching what they do. As long as, like, also with your competition, like, there's other people that are probably doing the same thing that you're doing. Follow them, see what works for them, use them as, like, a little bit of research. Don't copy them, but also, like, learn from them for sure. Another way to find trends, I would say, is kind of just, like, it sounds bad, but, like, be on your phone and scroll. Like, you have to, like, kind of be in it and have the knowledge of what's coming out, and that means you have to be on that platform, which can get time-consuming, but almost essential to be on trend.
Yeah, I think that there's that part of it, right? Just like going through it and trying to understand it. But then I think the other part too is just being yourself and your things. I think people can really fish that out when you're not being yourself.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, yeah. And you can see right through that, right?
Yeah.
So then when starting in social media, what are like three things that are imperative for people to understand or do when starting the social media?
With one of my businesses, I help other businesses with their social media. And I help schedule and make content and manage their social medias. And what I see that a lot of businesses struggle with, because of how time consuming it is to run a social media account, is staying consistent. Like, whatever you're doing, there's people that are wanting your content. They want to see it and they want to like learn from you, whatever your business is, they want to know more about it. But if you're posting like all of a sudden once a week, and then you go down to once a month, and then you switch, and then you just like post every single day for like 2 months, and then you go back to once a month, people are going to be like, whoa, what is going on? Like, too crazy, too chaotic, not really paying attention, and they kind of just throw you to the side because there's other people that are doing it well. So I would say one of the top things is to stay consistent, whether you choose to post once a week, stay to posting once a week, or if you are capable of posting every single day once, I would say as long as you're consistent with it, that's a good thing. Another thing is to be on brand. If you have your own brand for your business, don't just like copy and paste other people's stuff that's already put in someone else's brand, or go on like Canva and use templates that like everyone is using. It's not your brand. It's not personal. Just like you said, you want to be authentic. You want to like show how your brand is taking this trend. So like if there's a trend that's going viral right now and it's talking about how, let's see, I'm trying to think of an example I did for Hollenberry Pannekoeken.
You did storytelling.
Oh yeah, the storybook one. So like everyone's taking their kind of like business and doing these AI storybook where they take an actual photo and then they change it into an illustration that looks like an old storybook. So Hollenberry Pannekoeken in Rochester, Minnesota, I took photos from inside Hollenberry and outside of Hollenberry and changed it into the illustration for the storybook, and it did really well and people loved seeing it. It's almost like nostalgic in a way. And also using the correct audio for that trend also helps. So like putting all those things together is really important for your social media.
So having that consistency and having the trends or following what's going on. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what are some of the tools that you feel like have helped you out? There's several different kinds out there. You know, like I use Final Cut Pro or CapCut. What are some of the tools that you are using?
Yeah, I would say going back to Adobe Illustrator is my favorite one, just because I went to college and like I learned everything I know pretty much in Adobe Illustrator. So that's what I just go to. But there's plenty of free ones like Canva and CapCut. And I feel like you just have to put your own spin on it. You have to put like, they give you templates, but take that template to the next level. Otherwise you're going to look like you're just doing what everyone else is doing. It's not going to be unique.
Being yourself, going back to that too, is like, just be yourself and it don't copy somebody else's thing. Right. Really. I mean, we all kind of do that in a way when you're following a trend, is you're copying other people and what they're doing, but you still have to give it your own taste, your own flavor to it, I feel like.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Especially like if you can relate it back to your business somehow, rather than just copying exactly what they did for their business.
Yeah. I want to ask you about three myths with YouTube.
Okay.
All right. The first myth that I feel like we hear is that you need to be posting several times a day.
Right. I feel like that would be, depends on what kind of company you have, but I would say no, you definitely do not need to do that. Unless you're a live news channel, like that needs live updates about something that's going on currently, I would say you're going to overstimulate the audience that you have, and they're going to kind of get either sick of you or they're going to miss the first post that you posted that day. It can be too much. And I would say you want people to want your content. You want them to be like wanting more instead of having too much.
Right. Yeah. I think, again, it kind of does go back a little bit to just being yourself. Who posts 8 times a day? I feel like, and like you said, it's a good point you bring up. You talk about different businesses. There's businesses out there, millions and billions of dollars, and they're able to put all the efforts to posting 4 times a day.
Right.
We're individual people. I can't post 4 times a day, I feel like, you know, so it's hard. And I feel like it's just, again, knowing your audience is a big part of that.
Definitely.
And the quality over quantity, I think, is something that is good as well. But with that being said, the next myth that I've heard is every single video has to be professionally done. Do you think that's true or not?
I think it also depends on your company again, but I would say for the majority of businesses that you don't want to be posting poor quality, but you also don't want to go too professional all the time because it seems fake and salesy. You want it to be relatable to your audience. And if your audience is just the average kind of person, they're going to want to see things that make you human.
I think that is a good point that you bring up, is just being relatable.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's huge. The last myth that we hear, tell us about thumbnails. Are they essential on YouTube? Do you need them? Do they not matter? Teach us. Tell us. What is your thoughts on that?
I think they're absolutely essential and very important. It's kind of like the best comparison I could give it to is like you showing up to an interview in really nice clothes or inappropriate clothes. Like, it's your first impression. It's like how someone's going to see and like, do I want to watch that or do I not want to watch that? And if you have a good thumbnail and it's enticing and clean and clear, people are going to more likely click on it and want to watch it, which could lead to the whole funnel of they like the video. And then on top of that, they subscribe to your channel and then they watch more of your videos. So it's like the first part or the first impression that you're really trying to put out there.
I think exclusively on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Because like if you look at, I don't know, TikTok or Instagram, they don't really have the same thumbnails as YouTube. does. Maybe they do. I don't understand thumbnails as well.
Well, I think they play the video as you're scrolling right away, so the thumbnail doesn't stick out. It's only right. if you go to the profile and that if you want to see, which could be used as more of an organization thing. So like if you're posting a bunch of like furniture flipping things and people are like really interested in that, if they go to your profile and you make it clear that that video in the thumbnail is about furniture flipping, they're going to click on it and watch that because that's what they were looking for.
That's a good point. I think I like what you just said, going back just a step, is it's like the first interaction people are having with you, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, would you show up to an interview in ripped shorts and or a terrible t-shirt, or do you want to make a good first impression, right? This is your way to make that first impression.
Right. Yeah, you definitely want someone to be like, oh, that looks interesting, or ooh, this looks cool, rather than, oh, that's boring, or even just scroll past it and not even think anything.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about YouTube and how you've been able to use it for your businesses. I want to talk too just about like the business side of things. And now you're self-employed.
Yep.
Right, you're doing your own graphic design, you're doing Restore by Ali, you're selling that furniture. Yep. And so you're running your own businesses. What are some of the benefits of being self-employed, and then what are some of the struggles that come with being self-employed?
Well, I would say the benefits, the most common one you hear is definitely you get to make your own schedule, which is really nice. And you can work around things, whether they're personal things or other businesses that you're doing, whatever it is. And you're available for your family or your friends or whatever. Another benefit is you get to choose who you work with. Like if there's some client that comes to you and you already know that the way they're acting or treating you is not very great, it's not like you have to work with them. You can be like, this isn't the best fit for both of us, and we're going to move on to something else. So creating your own work environment and making sure it's healthy. Some of the struggles I would say is being able to talk about yourself confidently, that like, yes, I am worth it. I am worth being paid this much money, to your clients, as well as, getting past the kind of traditional view of, oh, agencies are better than freelancers because there's a team behind it. In my personal experience, I definitely feel like freelancers work way harder than agencies do. Because of like, that's their living, that's how they provide, and they are representing themselves and rather than just an agency.
Sure. You know, and I was thinking too, I feel like you can make any benefit into a struggle or any struggle into a benefit in a way. And like you were just mentioning, you can make your own schedule. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. That is true. Like being in real estate, even you can make your own schedule, but you have to be very disciplined.
True.
Because otherwise, you can be looking at noon and you haven't done anything for the day, right? So that can be a struggle if you're not good with like time management.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that can be hard.
Yeah. I would say even the legal side of things too, like the struggle of being organized with your books, and you're a one-man show usually. And so like you don't have someone that takes care of all the money for you. You don't have someone who takes care of all the insurance and all that stuff. You have to do all that. It's all on you.
Right. So how do you remedy that? Like, that's a big struggle. Like, how do you YouTube. Get past that?
I go to YouTube. I literally have to teach myself through YouTube, or ask other people that own their own businesses and how they do it and who they use. YouTube education right there.
Yeah. I mean, YouTube is huge for that. I've used that before to change filters in my car or fix part of my car before. For you, if someone needs to know how to flip some furniture or fix a piece, they can follow you on Restore by Ali. Yeah, exactly.
Everything.
Yeah. What? Okay. So building off the business side of things then, what are some of the things that you know now? Now, this doesn't just have to be on business, but YouTube even. What are some of the things that you know right now as a business owner, somebody who's really active in YouTube, that you wish you would have known right away at the beginning?
Yeah. For YouTube, I would say make your own YouTube community, or like collaborations with people are huge. Like you kind of work for yourself and you think that you are like alone all the time. You don't have to be. You can go and find other YouTubers or other businesses that are wanting to collab with you. So like, I feel like collaboration is something that I wish I would have thought of right away, and that I kind of pushed off. I'm like, oh, that's when I'm bigger. That's when I have more of a following. Like, no, that's how you grow. Like, start and ask people, even if you get people who are like, no way, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do a collaboration. That's okay. Move on to the next person. There's tons of people who are willing to. So for YouTube, I would say I wish I knew that collaboration is like such a huge part of it, a huge part of growing. For business, I would say how you treat people is just as important as the services you offer. Like, especially as a freelancer, the relationships you make will only improve if you treat them well and you have kindness and you're patient. Will only like make your business grow in the way of like they'll tell someone else, oh, Allie's so easy to work with, or Allie's great, she did this for my company, or yeah, Allie's so patient with us, we're still learning. Like, that word of mouth is really strong with you having those really strong relationships.
Yeah, I would build off of that. I think it's twofold, right? It's not just the relationship that you have with your clients and like how well you built up that relationship with them, but also it feels way more satisfying to yourself, right? And like that, I think, makes you more connected and feel satisfied within your business. Like, you know that you are giving like the best effort you can and helping somebody out. I've seen that just in doing my own things too. It's like, it's so wonderful to bring happiness to somebody else, and it makes you feel good and wants you want to keep doing more. So I feel like it kind of goes both ways.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think taking a step back then just to the YouTube side of things, you were talking about collaboration. Mm-hmm. I've heard something before around the lines of like, if you want to go somewhere quick, do it yourself. But if you want to go far, then do it with others. Yeah. And I think that makes it is true, right? Like, we have ideas and what we think might be good, but talking to somebody else and getting their opinion on something, I think, is imperative as well. Having that team effort is huge.
Definitely. I would totally agree with that.
You're rocking the YouTube world with Restored by Allie. You're running your own businesses. What is, and you can try maybe putting these together, what is one single piece of advice that you would give to somebody to help them be successful as a new business owner?
I mean, it feels cliche, but it's true. Is like, don't be afraid to fail. Like, I almost go fail is what you should do. It's just go and fail, because you'll learn so much more than sitting back and being like, oh, I'm going to wait till I have this perfect. Oh, I'm not going to wait, or I'm going to wait till this video is perfectly edited, or I'm going to wait. Stop waiting. Just go fail and then learn and then do the next one better.
Yeah. I love that. Truthfully, I think that there's no better teacher than just doing it. Mm-hmm. Failing a couple times, do it shaky and nervous, but just do it and mm-hmm. get it out there. You're absolutely right, in my opinion, is like, this is essential. Just get out there and do it. And that's, you're going to learn from your mistakes far quicker than you will in a textbook.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I feel like failing is not really failing. It's just learning.
I appreciate you coming in today and talking to us about not only YouTube, but just being a business owner. There are so many things that come with it. And thank you for taking the time to tell us about your journey and educating us a little bit too.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you.